In the Indiana Jones movies, Indiana is usually searching for a rare artifact with mystical powers, while some other nefarious archaeologist, usually a Nazi, is trying to find the artifact before Indy. Believe it or not, that trope of a Nazi archaeologist looking for an item of incredible power actually has a kernel of truth to it. Sort of. Learn more about Otto Rahn and the real-life Nazi search for the Holy Grail on this episode of Everything Everywhere Daily. This episode is sponsored by Expedition Unknown. Did you know that there's proof that Robin Hood may have been a real person using underground passageways in England to rob the rich? Or that gold coins discovered on the beaches of Florida may be connected to a Spanish treasure fleet that sank in 1715? On the Expedition Unknown podcast from Discovery, Josh Gates travels the world to investigate history's greatest unsolved mysteries. He'll take you through Russia and Germany looking for stolen objects of great value pillaged by the Nazis during World War II, to Nepal to uncover mysterious caves high up in the mountains, or Peru to uncover the meaning behind giant geoglyphs drawn in the earth hundreds of years ago. With direct audio from the hit TV show, you'll hear Gates explore stories like the disappearance of Amelia Earhart in the South Pacific and the location of Captain Morgan's treasure in Panama. Travel the globe with Josh Gates as he investigates some of humanity's greatest feats and most iconic legends. Listen to Expedition Unknown wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is sponsored by Newspapers.com, your passport to untold stories and hidden histories. As the largest online newspaper archive, Newspapers.com offers an incredible journey through time, with papers dating back to 1690. Imagine exploring the news, events, and everyday moments that shape the history of the world around us. Newspapers.com puts over 900 million pages at your fingertips, offering a front-row seat to the past. With papers from the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, and beyond, Newspapers.com lets you walk the streets of history, whether it's London during the Blitz, New York during Prohibition, or Sydney during the construction of the Harbor Bridge. For listeners of today's episode, Newspapers.com is extending a special offer. Use the code EverythingEverywhere and enjoy a 20% discount on a subscription. That's EverythingEverywhere at Newspapers.com. It's the perfect way to unlock the world of history. Otto Rahn was born in 1904 in Mittelstadt, Germany. He attended the University of Gießen, where he earned his degree in philology. And FYI, philology is basically the study of linguistics and literature in a historical context. While at the University of Gießen, one of his professors was a Baron von Gall, who introduced him to the Albigensian movement, also known as the Cathars. And before I get too far, I should probably explain who the Cathars were, because they're kind of central to the story. The Cathars were a religious movement which had its heyday from the 11th to 14th century. They primarily existed in southern France and northern Italy. The Cathars' ideology was believed to have come from the east, from the Byzantine Empire. And it's also known as Albigensianism, based on the French city of Albi, where it was centered. If you have ever come across the term before, it was probably from the Albigensian heresy, which is what it was considered by the Catholic Church. The Cathars had a belief system which differed dramatically from Orthodox Christianity. For starters, they thought there were two twin opposing deities. One was an evil god who created the world, which was the god of the Old Testament. And the other was a benign god who created the spirit world and was the god of the New Testament. As such, all matter and the physical world was to be considered evil. The Cathars thought that all people were angels who had literally made a deal with the devil to get corruptible physical bodies. They rejected Christian concepts such as the Trinity and the resurrection. They also had some other really odd beliefs which stemmed from their views. Because the world was bad, they shunned sexual reproduction, which is not really a good way to create a long-term religious movement. Likewise, they shunned meat, cheese, and eggs for the same reason, but they did eat fish. The Pope eventually issued a crusade against the Cathars, and there was a huge massacre in 1209 when 7,000 Cathars were killed. The last Cathar leader was executed in 1321, and they eventually died out after existing in very small mountain communities over the next few centuries. When the Cathars were wiped out, they became a thing of legend and myth. Anyways, back to Otto Rahn. Rahn became obsessed with the Cathars. This was in addition to his previous lifelong fascination with the legends of the Holy Grail. Eventually, he became convinced that the Cathars were the last group to have possession of the Holy Grail, and there were clues to its location that were located in the medieval German poem Parzival, written by the German knight and poet Wolfram von Eschenbach. Parzival tells the story of one of King Arthur's knights who searches for the Holy Grail. In 1931, he set out to find the Grail, which he thought was located at Montségur Castle in Languedoc, France. Montségur Castle was the last Arthur stronghold in France to fall during the Albigensian Crusade. In 1244, when it fell, 200 Cathars were burned alive in what was called the Field of the Burned. Ron thought that the Grail was located somewhere beneath the castle. He saw himself as a modern-day Heinrich Schliemann, who discovered the ruins of ancient Troy by refollowing the clues in Homer's Iliad. Ron spent months in the French Pyrenees searching for the Grail. Needless to say, Otto Ron wasn't Heinrich Schliemann, and never found the Holy Grail. However, Ron did get one thing out of his adventure. He wrote a book. In 1933, he released his first book, Crusade Against the Grail, a book which, by the way, is still in print and can be purchased on Amazon. The book didn't sell very well, but there was one person in particular who became a huge fanboy, a person who was really into mysticism, German fables, and ancient mysteries. The head of the German SS, Heinrich Himmler. Himmler, too, was a big fan of the Holy Grail. He had a personal citadel in Wevelsburg Castle in central Germany, and in it he built a grail room that was a circular room with 12 pillars in a nod to the Knights of the Round Table. Here I need to explain a little bit about the personal life of Otto Rahn. Otto was not what you'd call someone who'd be naturally attracted to the Nazi party. For starters, he was a left-leaning academic. He attended lectures by anti-Nazi intellectuals and was reported to have expressed anti-Nazi sentiments in private. He also may have had Jewish ancestry on his mother's side. But perhaps the biggest thing, however, is that Otto Rahn was an open homosexual in 1933 in Nazi Germany. For most people in Rahn's shoes at that place and time, life would not have been good. It would probably have involved some combination of arrests, detention, beatings, and possibly an end in a concentration camp. Because of the support he had from Himmler, however, Rahn was protected. His theories on the Holy Grail and his scholarship on medieval German legends fit the Nazi mythology about some pre-Christian Aryan Nordic civilization. Eventually, Otto Rahn was offered a literal deal with the devil. Himmler offered to sponsor his research and his expeditions to help find the Grail, as well as 1,000 Reichsmarks a month. The only thing that Himmler wanted in return was loyalty. In particular, he wanted Otto Rahn to join the SS. And so he did. It wasn't something he did out of ideology or loyalty, so much as it was just an offer he couldn't refuse. He had a patron in one of the most powerful men in Germany who was willing to pay for all the research he ever wanted to conduct. As he later confided to one of his friends, quote, "A man has to eat. What was I supposed to do? Turn Himmler down?" So he became a member of the SS, and they funded his expeditions into France to search for the Grail and for continued research into the Cathars. He also did other academic-related tasks for the SS, including doing a genealogy on Himmler and taking a trip to Iceland to do research on the Nordic sagas. In 1937, his research resulted in a second book, Lucifer's Court, A Heretic's Journey in Search of the Lightbringers. Himmler again loved it and purchased 5,000 leather-bound copies to give to Nazi officials, including Adolf Hitler. However, he found anti-Semitic additions in the book, which he never wrote. The deal that he did with the devil began to catch up with him. Later in 1937, he was assigned to be a guard at the Dachau concentration camp, and what he saw there shook him to his core. He spent 3 months there and told a friend, quote, "I have much sorrow in my country. It is impossible for a tolerant liberal man like me to live in the nation that my native country has become," end quote. In February 1939, he resigned from the SS. In his resignation letter, he wrote, quote, "I must ask you to accept my immediate discharge from the SS. The reasons are of so grave a nature I cannot explain them in writing," end quote. Unfortunately, you can't just resign from the SS. Once he submitted his resignation, he became a wanted man by the Gestapo. Just a few weeks after his resignation, the body of Otto Rahn was found frozen on the side of a mountain in Tyrol, Austria. Officially, his cause of death was listed as suicide. However, there has been mystery surrounding it ever since. Why would he kill himself by exposing himself to the elements on a mountain? Was he trying to escape German territory by fleeing to Italy? There were even rumors that the body that was found wasn't that of Otto Rahn. Some said he became the West German ambassador to Italy after the war, and others say he died in a car crash in Iran in 1958. No one knows for sure. Rahn was a thin man who wore a wide-brimmed hat who looked suspiciously like Major Arnold Ernst Todt in the movie Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. In Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, of course, there is literally a search for the Holy Grail and Nazis who are looking for it. Ron became the basis of the Nazi archaeologist trope, which has appeared in many films over the years. In the end, Otto Ron was an academic who was filled with fantastic ideas which turned out not to have been true, and he paid an incredibly high price in the pursuit of his research. Everything Everywhere Daily is an Airwave Media podcast. The associate producers are Thor Thompson and Peter Bennett. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so over at patreon.com. And remember, if you leave a review or send in a question, you too can have it read on the show.